Support for the homemade broadcast on Sunshine 96.7 FM WMTB comes from Truvy Salon and Spa in St. Petersburg. Located at 8908 4th Street North, Unit B, Truvy Salon and Spa offers hair care products and salon services by appointment only. Find out more about Truvy Salon and Spa at their website, truvysalonandspa.com.
This is a homemade broadcast radio production.
CP.com presents the homemade broadcast.
Hi, first time listener, first time caller. This message is for Will. Screw you, ass. Eat cum and fry ice.
Okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
This is Pete Holmes. I'm a comedian. I'm with my boy, Will. You're listening to the homemade broadcast, because you're smart.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the homemade broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSt.Pete.com, Sunshine 96.7 FM in downtown St. Petersburg. My name's Will. I'm your host, Anna Hummel, usually here, not here. Not here today. She's in California giving her mom COVID, but I have a special guest who we'll get to in just a second here. If you're a fan of 102.5 The Bone, you'll enjoy that guest. 813-693-2124 is the voice and text line. I haven't heard anything over there in a little while. What's up, guys? HMBradio.com is the website. You can leave a comment there. You can find an email address. There's a donate page over there. You don't have to. Just reminding you, if you're enjoying the program, it's free. And I will cut my hands with whatever you got. There's also a store over there if you'd like to show your support that way. Get yourself a hoodie. It's hoodie season coming up real soon. Weather's been beautiful. Oh, man. I can feel it. You can almost wear that hoodie during the day. So get it while it's good. HMBradio.com/store. John Senning, thank you so much for joining me. You may know him as the national... the national spokesman for Tiki Tunes, the man with more endorsements than I've had sexual partners in my lifetime, or perhaps just the co-host of Drew Garabo Live, heard right here. Well, not right here. This is a podcast, but on 102.5 The Bone.
Can I tell you, it's a bizarre thing that I actually am uncomfortable. Like, I know that there's probably somewhere dollars connected to them, but the way that it's structured, I 100% believe there is way too much of my voice during the commercial breaks on 102.5 The Bone. Like, it's. Can we curse here?
I prefer not. Usually, I do if it's a side one, but I'm actually going to use this as the real podcast.
Okay, so I won't curse. But if I was going to curse, it kills me. It just kills me to hear my voice that much. And it's not that there's that many. It's just that's the way it worked.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm happy to hear your voice. I'm happy for you and jealous, but still happy for you. And we just spent a long time in here riffing about the radio business in general. Now, when you started, did you know it was going to be like this?
Well, I knew it was going to be like that, probably not immediately. But the thing was, is that I decided that this is what I was going to do very, very early on, just because I guess it was based on the fact that my dad was a huge talk radio guy. And we had Drew and Mike in Detroit, who he was kind of obsessed with. Like, he would talk about Drew and Mike at the dinner table. And when I went to work with him, I would listen. And I think maybe that's why I, you know, had this goal. But so I knew that fifth grade, whatever. And then come high school, I got an internship at a radio station. And it was during that period where I realized radio is not normal. You have an idea of what jobs are when you're a kid and how it works. And, you know, you work hard and you do good and you're rewarded for it. And I think that first gig in radio, I think I was 2 years in, still an intern, never earned a dollar. So I think at that point I was like, okay, this is not a normal person's job. You know, the normal places don't have people working for free everywhere.
Yeah. You know, so I kind of have a similar story. Down here we had Ron and Ron in Tampa.
Yeah.
A legendary duo. And I used to listen to a lot of them with my father. And I used to do this thing where I would hot track songs.
Yeah.
I would do that. And I didn't really think about that as a job. And it was really kind of a bizarre even type of play, because I don't know many kids that necessarily did that. In seventh grade, we had this class called technology. That's all it was called. You played with Kinects. You went to different stations. It was a great class, a lot of fun. And they had a thing where you did a radio program, which essentially was two microphones with a mixer, and you recorded onto a tape.
That's fun.
And oh my God, I freaking loved it. I had so much fun. Skip ahead a little bit. You graduate high school. Okay, what am I supposed to do now? I'm asking my parents if I should go to college. I go, I don't know. Okay, I guess I'll do that. And then I tried to figure out what the hell to do there. I was at USF St. Pete. USF does have a radio station, but in Tampa. And I don't know why I didn't piece it together that this was a viable option for some reason.
Well, and depending on who you ask, it might not be.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
That's kind of the discussion we were just having before this. Is it's crazy, and I don't know. You know, you hear people that have been around radio forever, and they talk about, you know, the glory days. I do know that there used to be, everything used to be more loosey-goosey, and there was more money going around, and everybody used to do cooler stuff. But, you know, I don't know that it was always. I mean, I don't even know the word, if it's fickle or just, you know, companies don't want to part with their money or they don't reward good people. But it's, I mean, how many people do you know that have told you that are in radio that say, don't get into radio? I mean, it's a thing.
Everybody. And also, too, there's so much different competition for your eyeballs and your ears now. Back then, I've heard stories. I think it was actually SBK that told me at one of the events that, I think it was him, that they used to go do these promo events and they would get paid in cash.
Yeah.
And it was, if you set up a broadcast too, you get an engineering fee on top of that. So sometimes you'd leave a gig with $500 cash in your pockets in like the 1980s, which was $1 million essentially. And they would do that for a long time. Then it just, you know, I guess cable came along. I guess newspapers and magazines were always a thing, but Netflix, podcasting, internet, and it just ate into this market share and ate into the advertising dollars. That was the bottom line for this medium. And I know personally people my age, I don't know one that really listens. That's not true. They'll turn into radio sometimes, but they'll listen in their car for a little bit on the way home. I know that that the Bone has loyal listeners that will listen all day long, which is insane to me, but also seems right too. And I know that this station is something that's special in the country. As I look for jobs, I know that even more.
Well, not only the content and the type of station, this hot talk world that we live in, but I mean, Tampa is synonymous with radio. I mean, you mentioned Ron and Ron. I mean, you've got, you know, obviously Bubba, who was on, you know, The Bone Forever. Yeah. And there's just something about this city, MJ, BJ, everybody, you know, this town seems to kind of connect with radio personalities a little bit different than other places. And to go back to kind of what we started with, I hate the idea of trashing radio. So it's this weird thing. I am aware enough to know that I'm in the situation that I am in because the perfect set of circumstances unfolded before me. So I am more grateful than maybe anybody because I there were times where I was one day, 1 hour away from saying this isn't going to work. So I'm more grateful and I'm living my dream literally, but I am somebody who also I'm never going to tell somebody else you've got to work for nothing for 10 years to get to your dream. Like there were people telling me that the way you're doing now, it's all going to pay off in the end. And I didn't believe them now. I didn't believe them then. And if things hadn't gone exactly the way they did, they wouldn't have paid off. You know what I mean? I probably would have been gone or I would have still be making, you know, $9 an hour.
I think I heard something about you. I don't remember who told me, but that you were initially supposed to be on DGL earlier.
Yeah.
And that you had to turn it down for some reason.
Yeah. Yeah. That happened. The semantics and the details of it are, you know, sloppy, but it was like a money thing. And it was me. I tried to never fully give in to that frame of mind that I kind of just talked about, just that we live in this world where working for free and doing way more than you're ever going to be paid for is a part of life. And I mean, I did it and I did it for years, but I never bought into it. And there was I had the opportunity to join Drew Garabo Live back then. I mean, I was still going to be part-time and stuff. And there was just a bunch of stuff going on where, I mean, it came down to there was an hours cut that came simultaneously within 4 or 5 days of them offering me the Drew Garabo spot. So I said no. I mean, it was wild.
That's crazy to think about.
It is absolutely insane. I mean, thinking back on it, so Kayla was on the show at that time, and she trained me. I mean, so she's getting ready to leave. I came and sat with her for 2 weeks. I was the guy. And then I got this news, you know, within a couple days of officially taking the spot. And I remember going to talk to Seth at the time and saying, dude, you know, I understand this opportunity. I fully do. But like, I've got to be true to myself. And I just, I can't justify at this age that I'm in. And as far as I think I've come, I can't justify doing this for that, for the foreseeable future. And that was the months and days after that were probably as miserable as I've ever been in my life. Because, you know, I made that choice and I stuck to my guns. And in the moment I felt noble and that I was defending myself and standing up for myself. But that didn't change the fact that, you know, they brought in Nikki, who ended up being on the show, and I listened and worked here, and it killed me. It absolutely killed me. And the fact that somehow I got a second chance is still kind of beyond me.
What do you think you'd be doing if you weren't doing radio as a job?
It's not sexy, but I was always intrigued because I worked in the restaurant business forever, and I always got kind of a vision of other parts of that business. And I thought like liquor distribution or like working for a beer distributor, that was within the realm of what I wanted to do. I thought I could kind of travel around all day, be connected to the hospitality industry, but not working in a restaurant. And I just knew that it was supposedly a really good job. I always heard you had to know somebody to even get in with a liquor distributor, or like a Great Bay.
A very attractive woman.
Or that, or that. So, you know, that was it. I mean, when I was getting into those final months where I'm like, you got to make a move here, dude. You know, you're getting 5 years into this and with no end in sight, you've got to start. And that was predominantly the type of stuff that I was looking at.
There's finding something that you can get into in sales that sells itself is just a gold mine.
Yeah.
I mean, quite literally, alcohol sales, any sort of like medical equipment, fentanyl, those things sell themselves. So if you could find any of that stuff and sell it, that would be a good thing. I'm trying to think about what the hell I would do. I'm actually going through that now because there might become a time here in the near future where I have to do that.
Yeah.
Just because I'm going to be 37 years old next month. And that seems, I know that's not old, but it's getting there. It's getting to the point. And I want, if I want to start a career or do something where, you know, I don't know, commit my time and my resource to, and hopefully it's some sort of symbiotic relationship where they pay me. Time's a ticking.
Yeah, I get, you know, and that's a feeling that I think is not talked about enough in our society. I think so many issues with people mentally specifically stem from this ticking clock syndrome. I have so many friends that are grinding, whatever the hell that means, and trying to make their way. Maybe it's in radio, maybe it's in real estate, maybe it's whatever, and everybody feels like they're behind. And I just think, I don't know how you break those walls down and just you know, try to look at the bigger picture of life. You know, like you, I look at you, and this isn't, don't take this in a weird way, but I see so much of, you know, that mindset and those feelings that I was going through, where it's like, this is all that I want. This is the only thing I've ever thought that I wanted to do, and it being radio is doing nothing but pushing me away and pushing back on me, whether it be financially, whether it be schedule wise, whatever it is. And it is the mental aspect of being able to keep yourself sane, to push through that, that is harder than anything else, harder than dealing with the money, harder than anything, keeping yourself sane enough to keep going when everything around you tells you not to is the hardest part.
And I wonder if part of that too, the other side of that coin, is to know when, okay, it might be time to hang it up.
That,
and being headstrong enough to not be stubborn and realize that this is going to end up being more beneficial to you. I don't know. I'm not there yet, but it's definitely been coming into my mind more and more lately. However, I notice with me in my life, when things seem most bleak, something happens.
Yeah.
That's when something happens. Yeah. There's been times where I go, guess I'm going to sleep in my car now, and then I get this amazing deal on an apartment. That's happened more than once, living down here in St. Pete. You know how it is. It's the rent's ridiculous.
Oh, it's
getting more
crazy
and more expensive. You know, working two jobs and not being able to afford an apartment is a doozy, but not unusual, because things are crumbling right before our eyes. Society is crumbling right before our eyes. You know, nobody's working. Nobody can find anybody. I don't know how people are making money to stay alive. I don't think they're getting government assistance anymore.
No.
But for whatever reason, they're having trouble finding people to work. So
everywhere. I mean, literally everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's a bizarre thing to me, because I did come up in the restaurant business, and I know that if you try to go out to eat, maybe it's gotten a little better in Florida because they pulled the extra benefits earlier. But I think back to then, and everybody goes, oh, the restaurant workers are so mistreated, and oh, it's the, you know, the industry pushing back after decades of being treated like garbage. And from my perspective, there's a lot of weirdness that comes along with the restaurant business, but no other place in the world can you go work for 5 hours and take $125 cash or more home with you. So when those jobs that are really kind of make your own schedule type jobs and leave with cash money, when those jobs become hard to find people, I think that's a sign of something much bigger. And much like you, I don't know what the hell that is. I don't know how society is operating.
I'm thinking, did everybody put their Biden bucks in the Bitcoin or something?
I don't
understand.
It's very, very weird, because it is. And I mean, you go to, I was at a Walmart down in Venice a couple weeks ago, and I walked in, and I don't believe there was one single human being working there except one lady at the at like the customer service. So you've got a packed Walmart with like 15 full lines that are all self-serve, and one person running that. And I just think, imagine if I told, you know, 10-year-old me there would be a day when you could run an entire Walmart with one person. Not good, not in a fully functional way. But you know, I saw the article that came out this morning. It was like an op-ed that said people need to start lowering their standards and just accept that service and everything else is going to suck. And no, that's just that's called, you know, raising the white flag and giving up. And I don't know what the answer is to get us back, but there's saying it sucks forever isn't the way.
There's this documentary by Adam Curtis. He's a BBC guy. It's this term called hypernormalization, and I'm hesitant to use it because it goes back to this guy who was living in Soviet Russia at the time, talking about communism. And then when you say that, half the people will just go, ah, this is not communism. Yeah, I know. but I you have to use it in a as an example. I'm not saying that we're living in a communist state or anything, but it was his theory that people were knew that these politicians were telling you fake things and that you could see it with your own eyeballs, and they were telling you the economy's great. And this, as we're seeing right now, I saw the press secretary say that we're having shortages because the economy is so good that people are buying things. And also Washington Post today put out a thing that said, stop being a baby. Get used to not having things. And this is your fault, kind of pointing the finger at Americans for that. So we're getting two narratives at the exact same time telling us that things are great and also things are bad and it's your fault. And you just go, this is, I don't know, does anybody really believe what we're being told by our politicians now? I can't believe that they do. Even if you voted for Joe Biden, I think you would have to go, yeah, maybe you lie when people talk to you about it. Go, oh, yeah, no, I think it's good. But you got to know that this is not normal.
Yeah,
this is not good.
And I know, you know, you and I have never lived through the rebound of a pandemic, so I'm open to the fact that I just don't know anything and that maybe this is what comes along with shutting down
a recession, though.
Well, the recession, but I mean, not in the form of we've never witnessed the majority of our country's economy be shut down and people be locked in their houses. So I don't know what the bounce back looks like, but I will tell you, just from a political landscape, it's never been more in your face. Like, you don't have to be into politics or read the numbers or follow the stock market to know that this country is in about as bad of a shape as it's ever been. I mean, those things are in your face at the store every single day, whether it's the bare shelves or whether it's the $9 gallon of milk, whether it's the, you know, $3.50 gas, whether it's the homeless people, you know, in some of these parts. It's just the violence taken to the street. You know, when you look at what's going on up in New York and other areas where there's more violence than there's ever been, and then throw on top of people losing their jobs for vaccines. It's just, it's never been more apparent with your own eyes that things are not good.
Yeah, and everything's kind of connected when you get into these complex systems, and they're vulnerable. Because you get one piece that malfunctions, just like a car or something, and the whole thing shuts down. Now, it could be a controlled demolition. I've heard that. I don't even want to call it a conspiracy, but a theory that this is, you know, about the Great Reset. I'm sure you've heard about it, at least. And it was called a conspiracy. And now, recently, the World Economic Forum website talks about it all the time, that we're going to build back better from this pandemic, and it's going to be amazing. You're going to love it. And these are all Davos billionaires and trillionaires that think that they know better of how to run society than I guess us in a democracy would. So I don't know. It was a conspiracy at one point, so maybe it's a controlled demolition, but I just imagine that I just don't know how people are managing to stay alive and wake up and go to where do you go during the day? What do? Are you just watching Squid Game? I don't understand. What do you do when you finish that? Find another TV show?
I don't know. I don't know where, because that's what I think we're kind of being led to believe, is that there are these imaginary dream jobs that everybody is flocking to make themselves happy. People are focusing on their mental health and they want to be more connected with their family. I think what really took place is that you terrified people, is that you've got the two groups of people, those who were terrified by the pandemic and everything that came along with it, and those who weren't and kind of just pushed forward, whatever that means. And I think Florida as a state represents, you know, what pushing through it, even though it's ugly at times, can look like. But for those people that bought into everything, you can't be terrified to the point to where you don't want to leave your house and then have that switch flipped overnight. I mean, when you terrify people so much that it's not safe outside, you still have Fauci telling people what they can do on holidays and if they should let their kids trick or treat. You don't, you know, give that kind of control to the government and to certain people and buy into all of that and then one day go, okay, I'm all better, I'm ready for life to return. So I think you've got that group of people who they're just not ready. It broke them, and I don't know what they're doing either. Maybe they're watching Squid Games. Maybe they're, who the hell knows? But I think that's the unspoken thing, is that you can't traumatize so many people, whether, you know, they're those, I mean, whether those people were softer or not, or they just bought into it more than the others. I don't think you come back from that overnight for those certain people.
Yeah. John Senning is joining me on the Homemade Broadcast this week. I saw that if you invested your Biden bucks, and I don't know if it was a $600 or $1,200 one, when you first got it, that would be worth $12,000.
Oh, wow.
Right now.
Oh, wow. Should have done that.
I did, but I did it in other cryptocurrencies, the ones that aren't doing well. It is uncanny how close I am, but completely wrong with the things that I do. I have the right idea. It's just a matter of putting it in the right things.
One day it'll hit. I don't understand. I am not, I'll say up front, I'm not great with my money. I'm lucky to have a wife who, you know, is more responsible than I am. But I can tell you that we've never owed taxes ever. And I made the same thing that I made last year, but this was the first time ever that I've owed taxes. And I had somebody, once I realized that, I went and talked to somebody and I'm like, what's the deal here? Am I doing something wrong? Like, I've never owed money. And they said, oh, it's because you got a stimulus. And what I owe is a little bit more than the stimulus. And I said, well, what the hell was the point of the stimulus then?
Yeah.
And I know that it's everybody's different and not everybody had to pay that back, but I would rather you not give me the, you know, I was here. We were here and I didn't miss a paycheck. So whatever I did with that, I don't know, but I would have rather just not had it than had it and then, you know, have to pay it back come tax time. And I think a lot of people that are in that middle range are doing the same thing.
I know. I'm concerned about, because my student loans are going to start again in January. I thought Papa Joe was going to take care of that for me. There's a lot of pressure for him to do that. Maybe he will. I don't know. Fingers crossed. But I worry about what that stimulus is going to, because it's an income payment system.
Yeah.
They want like $650 a month from me.
Which is
insane. And you know, I learned my lesson of working with them. And I had this idea and I wanted to talk to Dom about it. I know the answer and it's no. But I wanted to ask him, the idea of going to college is that you are not promised necessarily, but given the piece of paper, the qualifications, the knowledge to go out into the world and you earn more money. That certainly wasn't the case with me. I feel like if I would have started in promo here during the time that I was in college for almost 10 years, I'm not a doctor, by the way, that maybe, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah.
You know, and I think the myth that you need to go to school in order to be successful is a total lie. Now, but also at the same time, I know that if you look at the research overall, college graduates earn way more than people who just earned a high school degree.
Yeah, but I don't know that we've seen the other side yet, because I think we're still in the midst of the last, you know, 10 years where the paradigm shifted to almost, villainizing people who don't go to college. You know, I think that's become, you know, more of a thing as of late. I think that, nobody's talking their kid, or at least society isn't talking any kids into, you know, going and learning a trade. Or, you know, I think now there's more of a chase your dream, which who am I and who are you to push back on, because we've pretty much done the same thing. But, you know, chasing your dream and being an artist, the odds aren't necessarily in your favor. And I don't know that that's the side of the story that a lot of young kids always hear. Chase your dreams, yes, but just know that just because you chase your dream doesn't mean that it's going to pay off. So I think that middle area between chasing your dreams and reality is, us, kind of what you just said, is being more open about, you know, it doesn't have to be college and then success. There are a bunch of other avenues in between that, some more sexier than others, that can get you where you need to be.
Having a backup plan is good, but it can also hinder you. Because then you have a backup plan.
You're not wrong. And if I, and there were probably a bunch, that's a really, really good point, because I didn't have a backup plan at all. I had pretty much thought I was going to work in restaurant management after I had after I've gotten, you know, out of radio after working, you know, in high school and stuff. And then I'm like, this is, they don't pay their people. This, it's a dream. I don't have all this time to waste. So I was like, here we go. I'm going to be a restaurant manager. Start me off at 50K, you know, whatever. I'll pay the bills and everything will be okay. And that got about 6 months in. And it was like, what the hell are you doing with, you know, what the hell are you doing with your life? And that's when I decided, which I'm, this is a much bigger discussion that we can have or not have, but I decided to go to CSB because I was like, there's no question. There's one path and it's radio. So let's, you know, go balls deep in that. And I did it. And I don't know if that was the right choice at all, but especially once I paid that money and did that, then I really felt like there was no backup plan. I had burned the bridges. I knew that restaurant wasn't for me and I had committed to radio and started working for iHeart down in Sarasota and almost immediately remembered all the feelings from, you know, working in radio a few years earlier to where it was the same thing. I think I got a year in as an intern, having not been paid. Finally, they hired me as a promo person. And then I think I did another 2 years as, you know, doing that. And it was, yeah, I don't know what would have happened if I had a legitimate backup plan. I would have went to it time and time again, probably. Yeah. So that's a good point.
CSB is a Connecticut School of Broadcasting, which I also didn't go to, but went to the orientation and did the process. And that was right after high school to figure out what it, and then I looked at what it was going to cost to do. And I opted not to do that. And I know that it's kind of a contentious. So you found it beneficial to you. Because a lot of people say it was nonsense.
Well, that was kind of why I was beating around the bush a little bit. I will say, I don't know if you know the backstory at all with what happened with at least with this CSB in Tampa. So I was the last class before they shut down. They shut down for a period of time, and then I believe they were almost franchised. So the Tampa location shut down right after I graduated. I will say this, and I'm sure that the, you know, it's a weird thing because they like to tout their graduates, and you, so
are
I don't,
you on the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, of course, but I don't want to you know, bury them. But I can tell you that people that I went to class with fought it and got their money back. Mm-hmm. Like there was something afoot at CSB when I was there. So
that's what I want to do with University of South Florida.
Yeah.
I want to get my money back.
And they did. And I was, you know, obviously not smart enough to push back. But at the same time, they have something interesting where you're a student for life. And I didn't know it at the time because I graduated and I made a push to try and do a bunch of stuff. They tried to get me an internship here with, I think, with Calta and with Drew, and that didn't work. And then I went and interviewed for an internship with FLZ for Rat and Puff, who were doing the night show.
I remember.
And that didn't work out. And then there was this lull. And I remember they called me one day and were like, hey, iHeart in Sarasota has an opening for an internship. So I will say where they did help me was in a time when I don't even know if internships exist now. I don't think they do. So, yeah. But the, you know, you had to be getting credit. So they have this kind of wiggle room where you're a student for life. So you can be an intern at any point and still be earning quote unquote college credits. So years after I graduated, they did give me the capability to start as an intern because they'll only give you an internship if you're earning college credit. Mm-hmm. So, which I was, I guess, and which, you know, I don't know if I'd be here if not for that spot in Sarasota, because I eventually, that ran its course. I became jaded and I quit and I moved to Georgia and again was right back in trying to figure out where the hell my life was going. So I don't know if I skipped that phase completely, if I would still be here, but, you know, Drew's pretty open about, and a lot of people are, and you already kind of touched on it. If you can get in the door as a promotions person or at least get in the building without CSB, then you've kind of circumvented CSB.
Which was a challenge. Now, you know, there's commercials with your voice to it, begging people for promo to work in that. That's where I started, too.
Yeah.
I know that's how you started here. And, you know, I just made my intentions known of what I wanted to do. And some people were helpful along the way. And, you know, now I'm co-host of a nighttime show. Very, very, very part-time. Not going to bore everybody with the details of that again. I've already talked to you about it. And I've talked to these people about it many times. And it's super fun. And I love it. But I wonder, sometimes I go, man, I just wish I kind of forgot that I like doing this. and could just go do something else. But I don't know what to do. Well, I try to think about what would I be good at. I can't think of anything. I'm not particularly talented at anything but this type of stuff. I was thinking, okay, I could do the computer programming thing. I don't know if I have the patience to sit and learn how to do that.
No, you're not. You don't want to be in front of a computer all day. I mean, I'm trying to think here. I'm trying to, be your high school counselor and tell you what I can see you doing.
You know what I think I'd be good at? Mowing lawns.
Dude, can I tell you that during those dark days when I was questioning what the hell I was going to do, I'm like, let me start a landscaping company.
Yeah.
Let me, have...
For real.
10 houses or whatever that I mow a week, whatever the hell it may be, make some decent money, be my own boss. And I know it sounds crazy, but I think I might be able to find peace with that. Now, don't get me wrong. Big difference between thinking about mowing lawns and then waking up every morning, know that your day is going to be filled with mowing lawns. Those are two different things, but.
Yeah, I just can't think of anything that, so my friends, I'm the black sheep. They are all doing very well in their lives. And it's hard not to try to keep up with the Joneses with that type of stuff. But I wouldn't want to do those dumb jobs that they do. I mean, they're paid very well to do those things, but I don't want to work in finance. The only thing that I could think of is maybe trying to do the coding thing, because that always pays well, and that's the future. That's what they're going to need, is somebody to program these computers who will eventually replace us. But I don't know if I have the patience to sit and read a book and go back to school again.
What about a wedding and event DJ?
I can't.
I mean, then you're like in the realm. You got the mic in your hand. You're around people. I mean, you probably make your own schedule.
Yeah.
Probably get a free bar tab everywhere you go.
God, that just sounds like hell on earth.
Yeah, it kind of does. I can't imagine.
Yeah, that's the conundrum. So I feel like, okay, well, if I don't have anything better, then I'll just stick this out. And it's unfortunate because corporations that do this type of business know that and know how people want to do this. And then they can kind of take advantage of you because you'll stay and take it. And I just keep bending over and over and over as of right now.
Well, and for me, it was always, and I think that multiple things along the way taught me this lesson, kind of like when I told you about what happened with, with the show with Drew Garabo Live the first time that I was on it for a very short period of time, is just I have an unhealthy fear of regret. And it was just always, you can't go backwards. You can't go back. Like right now, you're in probably as good of a place in this building and in this industry and on this station as you can be. I think that, the list of the backups are, short. And I mean, you're filling in on the number one rated morning show in Tampa, and, you guys got a good thing going at night, and you go, okay, I can't do it anymore. I'm going to go do whatever the hell I figure out I'm going to do. And then it's miserable, and you can't go back. I mean, maybe you can, but you can't really go back.
I would imagine that once you're out, it's really hard to get back in.
Yeah.
If you're here, you can kind of apply for jobs in-house and see if something else comes along, which I've looked at doing that maybe, but it would have to be something similar to this state or the Bone station in order for me to leave. And there's not really much out there.
It doesn't really exist. I mean, Real Radio in Orlando is kind of odd that these two stations are across the state from each other, because there's not many like them across the country. But, I mean, yeah, it's a fickle, fickle thing. And it's, the saying, follow your dreams and the money will come. I like to buy into that. And it's one of those things that when you're going through it, it can bring you peace. But I also, I hate the idea of feeling like you or I, more specifically myself, when I went through it, was being taken advantage of. And that was, those feelings creep in, whether they're true or not. I mean, it's business for everybody. So I don't think there's anybody in an evil office somewhere going, oh, we got him. He's doing this for nothing. But it can feel like that. I mean, at least the feelings feel like that. So battling, following your dreams and being true to yourself, and also not wanting to live in a world where you feel like, you're being taken advantage of. It's a battle.
Yeah, it is. And I have nowhere to go, so I'll stay. This is John Senning from 102.5 The Bone here. I guess we'll wrap this up pretty quickly.
Is this going to be on like a radio station?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There's this station that I got involved with years ago now, just searching around for radio stations to apply for a job.
Yeah.
There was this little website, RadioSt.Pete.com, and I was investigating it a little bit. It was an online St. Pete-centric station. They played a lot of local artists, et cetera, et cetera. And then it kind of branched out. There was this guy, Rick Crandall, who was, you ever see that movie Pirate Radio about the boat that was off the coast of, I think it was in New York somewhere?
I don't think I have, no.
Okay. It had Philip Seymour Hoffman in it. And the deal was they made a pirate radio station on this boat, and the feds had trouble shutting it down because it was technically out of the United States. It's kind of a cool story.
That's intriguing.
So that guy, Rick, was on that boat. So he's always had this like passion for radio. He started Music Tampa Bay down here, and he had a very low frequency, low powered FM station. And he would, it was a couple blocks, you know, and he would do local music. We kind of got combined with them, and now it's kind of taken off a little bit to kind of not compete with, but on the same wavelength of like a WMNF,
yeah.
Mostly all local artists in the Tampa Bay area, which is kind of cool. And then I've been on board with them since the beginning, I'm one of the few talk shows that are kind of on the FM channel, which is kind of neat.
Would you, if the opportunity arose, would you frown upon doing something music related?
I wouldn't be bananas about it, but I know that that's probably the reality.
Yeah.
And so if it was like a, what do you mean, like a 20-minute talk hour?
Well, but, yeah, something like that. I mean, I think, hey, nothing is guaranteed in this life. I mean, yeah. I'm open to tomorrow or any day coming in here and then being like, hey, we had a good run, but it's over. So yeah. I just think of, you know, what radio jobs are really like. And it's almost bizarre because when you're used to talking for, you know, 30 minutes at a time or whatever it is, it's crazy to think about. And I don't mean this as a diss to anybody who plays music, but it's like, what the hell do you do?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking like, wow, that would be so easy. I could do that by myself.
That's the thing. And I hate saying that because I don't want to seem derogatory towards people who, you know, there's a lot of great, you know, music jocks out there, but it's like 3 minutes, 2 minutes, 1 minute, you know. And I did, when I worked for iHeart in Sarasota, I was John Boy on 106.5 CTQ on the country station.
Oh, okay.
So I voice tracked, for the country station. Mm. And it's just, I think back to that, and now having talked so much, it's like I couldn't imagine somebody telling me, hey, you got to be in and out in 30 seconds or
that
a minute.
That would be where the difficulty, yeah, would come in, it, from going super long to making it super short in that short period of time. But you're right, that's the reality. And if a good situation came along, sure.
Well, and that's the thing too. Once you've done something like this, you know, and morning shows aren't necessarily like they used to be. You know what I mean? In the sense of we've got the Mike Calta show here, which is very much, I think, old school, and that it's an ensemble cast, and you know, but a lot of stations now, they've got like one dude. And I mean, I could clearly see you being like that guy who's, you know, you play some audio, you're funny, you talk to a few callers, and you're not doing, you know, 20-minute talk breaks. But, you know, I think as podcasts become more prevalent, and people get pushed out, that those spots will be more, in, you know, commonplace in radio. And I think about that for myself too, you know, like, I don't know what the hell I'm going to be doing for the rest of my days.
Yeah. I would really, really like this podcast to take off to the point where, you know, Anna's with Bubba, I'm here at the Bone, which is kind of weird.
It is.
And kind of unique and kind of esoteric because of that relationship that those people have with each other.
It's almost like that, and who the hell am I to say? It's almost like if that was the, and I know you can't dig into, you know, the deep darkness there, but it's almost like if that was the sticking point. I think there's so many people in this town who at least know of the beef, and just having two people coming from those different,
yeah,
universes sitting in the same room and not only doing a show but being friends, I think the people who know and are intrigued would just, you know, they just eat that stuff up. People love it.
Yeah, and that's what I'm hoping. It's almost like this weird bridge,
yeah,
that kind of connects the two things, like we're the children in the divorce,
yeah,
that are kind of holding the family together somewhat. Not really.
No, the family's not together. Right. The family is very broken.
Very, very apart. Yeah. But there's some weird, like you see them at the high school graduation and they kind of go, hey, you know, and nod their head. And that's about it. So if I could find a way to make this podcast into like a Patreon type of scenario and do 4 shows a week. And, you know, some people make decent money doing that. It's just building that listener base, which isn't quite there yet. But hey, who knows? Get people like you to come on from time to time. Keep building it up, building up the heat. And John, I thank you very much for being here. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Absolutely. I love talking to you. I love doing radio with you. I appreciate you inviting me, man. And, you know, whatever is in the future, I hope it's nothing but good. And I really think that when good people work hard, it's harder to fail than it is to succeed. And you know, every day, it's some days suck, some days don't. But I just think if there's like forward momentum and you're trying and you're good at what you do, then it pays off. Like, no, you know, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be in 2 weeks. But like I said earlier, I feel the journey in you just like I experienced myself. And I hope that it pays off sooner than later.
Thank you, John. You're a very nice man. And I hope that you're right, for the love of God. All right, that's it. I'm going to get out of here. Check out Drew Garabo Live 2 to 6 p.m. on The Bone. If you're listening to this, you probably already know that, though. And you can find John on social media at TheJohnSenning. And follow me, home_made_man. You can catch me on the Johnny B Show, 8 to 10 p.m. on 102.5 The Bone. And get this podcast. Sometimes there's extra stuff on it. If you're listening on Radio St. Pete, the feed has extended interviews, et cetera, et cetera. I did one with Mike Calta a little while ago. That was really cool. So it's not available anywhere else. But that podcast feed, hmbradio.com. I hope you have a terrific week. Anna will be back, I believe, next week. I might be out, though. I don't know. Anyway, I'll let you know. How about that? Will Coons, HMB Radio on Radio St. Pete. Goodbye.
You have found The Homemade Broadcast on RadioSaintPete.com.